Open your Bibles first to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And, you know, we've talked in the past about this whole thing of Jesus being born. We've talked in the past of what a challenge this must have been for Mary. You know, an angel shows up, begins making these incredible declarations, and, you know, she's kind of shocked, to say the least. And she listens to this. You know, back in those days, the girls weren't allowed to go to Hebrew school, you know, kind of put it like that. That wasn't what it was really called, but only the boys were allowed to go. And quite frankly, I can't see any instructions under the law that it was supposed to be like that. That's the way it ended up. So I don't really know. Well, let's put it like this. Since they weren't allowed to go to school, the only thing that they would have heard is what somebody would have said to them. So I really don't know how much of the word Mary knew as far as the prophecies of the Messiah, because it does say, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." But I really believe that she probably had heard about these things, because being a Jew, you'd be looking forward to the Messiah. And then when this angel shows up, and she knows that she's a virgin, and makes this declaration to her, I just wonder if her mind went back to, wait a minute, the prophecy. Behold a virgin. Wait a minute. You mean it's me? I mean, how would you like an angel to show up at your doorstep, man or woman, and identify you as somebody that Scripture had prophesied? Think about this. Now, that's okay as long as it's not the Antichrist. You know what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? I mean, man, that's a heavy thing. Oh, listen, the body of Christ is prophesied. We're all a part of that. But to be singled out and told you're this person? Man. So not only is she dealing with the words of the angel as far as you're going to give birth to the Son of God and so forth. I mean, she's also going to have to come to grips with the fact that she is the person who is the fulfillment of prophecy. Not a group of people, the one in all of human history. She is the one who is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Now, you talk about the stigma that she would have carried as far as, you know, being pregnant and trying to explain to everybody this is God's baby. That I didn't, you know, do something I shouldn't have before being married and so on and so forth. Not only did she have to carry that stigma, but, I mean, she had to endure whatever criticism would have come her way relative to, oh, she thinks she's the fulfillment of prophecy. Life was not easy for Mary. I mean, that's just it doesn't say that in the Word, but based on what I understand of, you know, the law, things like that, I personally do not believe that life was easy for Mary. Let me ask you a question. Life always been easy for you after you got born again? Have you, any of you, experienced any kind of criticism, any kind of rejection, any kind of condemnation, any kind of belittlement, etc., and on and on? Have you ever encountered any of that since you've gotten born again? Have you encountered any of that because of decisions that you've made for Jesus? Have you ever encountered any of it from other Christians? Well, sadly, I think most of us have. And, You know, you and I both know that if abortion had been the big thing back in those days, there would have been people telling her, terminate the pregnancy. Well, thank God, Mary made that declaration, be it unto me according to your word. Now, I also have some other opinions that I can't verify with Scripture. But I do believe that during this time, after she made that... I know that God knew ahead of time what that girl was going to endure after she said, yes, I'll carry your baby, God. God already knew this. And I personally believe that in some way, shape, or form, maybe yes, maybe no, as far as an angel is concerned, but I personally believe that God visited her during her pregnancy, to give her peace, to strengthen her, to give her encouragement. You know what I'm saying? Well, man, she would have needed, in my opinion, a supernatural touch from God to make it through this thing. Not from the physical aspect, but from the emotional aspect of the way people would talk. Well, if you look over in chapter 2, Mary says, yes, be it unto me according to your word. And she becomes pregnant with Jesus. Well, the time passes, 9 months, and we come to that day. Hallelujah. And in chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now look at this next verse. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now think about these angels, these shepherds. They're just doing their thing. They're just out there with the sheep, minding their own business, talking about the ball game, having a good old time. It's a nice night. Sheep are quiet. Everybody's happy. Then all of a sudden, this angel shows up. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone round about them. That means not only did this angel show up, but there was some light. And this angel is standing there, and I don't know about you, but I would think that this could have a tendency maybe to startle some of the sheep. And these shepherds, they've got to watch the sheep. So not only are they thinking about, you know, an angel, but at the same time, they've got to be wondering about the sheep. What's going to happen? They're going to take off? Well, anyway, this angel shows up and this glory, and says they were sore afraid. I mean, 1 minute he's not there, the next minute, boom, there he is. And the angel begins to speak, and he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now look at this next verse. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which has come to pass, which has come to pass, which has come to pass. Let's go see this thing which has become a manifest reality, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Now, quite frankly, I don't know, and I mean, you can do your own research in the Greek if you want to, but I can't tell if these shepherds are making reference to the prophecies or making a declaration of a moment in time. You say, well, what's the difference? Here's the difference. Because if they're making reference to the prophecies, that means they're acknowledging that this is the Savior, this is the Messiah that has been prophesied, and now it has come to pass that He is going to be born and we're going to witness it. Or they may have just been saying, this moment that has come, let's go see this thing. Either way, these guys were excited about going to see something. Now, I'm going to throw a question out to you, and if you know the answer to this question, you can tell me, because I haven't been able to find it yet. I am not an expert on prophecy, Old Testament or New Testament prophecy. But I have yet to find in the Old Testament where it was prophesied that this would be announced to shepherds. Anybody know of it? I'm serious. Anybody here know of it? Because I can't remember it. I don't recall reading that anywhere. But here it is. It's happening. And maybe it's buried in there somewhere in the Old Testament and I just haven't found it yet. But this angel shows up to these shepherds. Why not the priests? A waste of time, he says. Why not the priests? I mean, aren't these the priests, the ones that have been teaching in Hebrew school all these centuries, the ones that have been standing in the synagogues and teaching the people and in the temple and teaching the people, a Messiah is coming. The prophet says, and the prophet says, and under the law, the Messiah is coming, and so on and so forth. They've been talking about this thing. So why not show up to the priests and tell them, hey, guess what? He's here. Well, you know, there's probably about a million and one reasons why. And we're not, that's not the focal point of this message. But we know the problems that Jesus had with the priests and the Pharisees and all the rest of the religious leaders after he goes around raising people from the dead and opening blind eyes and so forth. I've got a feeling they probably wouldn't have been too receptive. They're all wrapped up in paying taxes right about now. He shows up, the angel shows up to these shepherds and says, listen, Christ the Lord, the Savior is born. And then this multitude shows up praising God. They're singing, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Now the thing is, it doesn't tell us how long this multitude was there praising and worshiping the Lord. Praising God and singing these things. We don't know this. But it says a multitude. That means more than just a dozen. That means more than what's here tonight. It means more than have ever been in this church at any one time since the building was constructed. A multitude of the heavenly hosts. We're talking thousands. That word multitude, I mean, it lends itself to the interpretation of being thousands. And they're all singing. Shepherds heard it. I bet there was somebody else who took note. Maybe the devil. Listen, you don't just get a choir of you know, a few thousand angels and start singing glory to God in the highest. The Savior is born. Without somebody taking note of this thing. Listen, Satan was stupid to rebel against God, but I'll guarantee you this, that would have had an impression on him. So here these angels are singing, they're praising the Lord, the shepherds are hearing this. And after the angels leave, in verse 15, the shepherds look at each other, and it really doesn't say exactly how many shepherds there were, but it says, they said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. That is so King Jamesy. I guarantee you they didn't go around looking at each other and say, let us go even now unto Bethlehem. I can just imagine these guys. You have just heard thousands of angels singing glory. You know what? From what I can see in Scripture, other than what we see in heaven, this is the only time such an event ever has taken place in the Word, where thousands of angels manifest before man singing the praises of God. These guys saw it. Now that'll make an impression on you. And they look at each other, and you know that they're excited. And they said, listen, we have got to go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Come on, we have got to go and check this out and see this baby. Now, if you notice in verse 12, he says, the angel says, this will be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. But do you notice something missing here? There's no street address. I mean, he just said, this is what you'll find. So here I don't know how many mangers there were. And it says that they were in this manger, no room in the inn. I don't know how many mangers there were in that area, but I'll guarantee you they found it. Bible says so. I don't know how many they had to check out first, but they found the right one. And it says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And I'm sure they looked at each other and said, this is it. Now, do you think it's possible that in their minds they might have wondered, well, what if we go to the wrong manger and there's another baby being born? Now, you say, gosh, I never thought about that, Brother Martin. Why do you complicate things so much? I don't know, maybe that would have been my thought. Are we sure this is the right baby? And all the mangers, is this the right baby? And the right... I think they knew. You know why I think they knew? Here's my opinion that I can't bear with Scripture, but I believe that when Jesus was born in that manger, I believe the presence of God was heavy in that place. I believe that. I don't believe you can give birth to the Son of God and not have the presence of God. I believe God was there in some way, shape, or form, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, to be sure that that was the smoothest delivery in recorded history. Sweetheart, you said yes to God's child, and I am the third person of the Godhead, and I am here to see to it there will be no complications in this delivery. And baby doll, you are having no pain. That baby is going to pop out like toast out of a toaster. I'm telling you now, this is not going to be a long delivery. No hard labor. That's just, honestly, I believe it was like that. I really do. I believe that, you know, I'm sure she's thinking, well, gosh, I can't wait to have more kids if it's this easy. That's just me. I believe the presence of God was heavy in that place because the Messiah, the prophesied one, has been born. And it says, and when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now here's what you don't see in verses 16 and 17. What you don't see is how long they were there. But again, it is my opinion. You know, they talk about there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2. I believe there's a gap between Luke 2:16 and Luke 2:17. I believe these guys hung around for a bit. Listen, the angels, man, the angel of the Lord showed up and said, the Messiah is born, the Savior is born. And this host of angels show up and they start singing glory to God. You think they're just going to poke their head in there and say, well, yep, there he is, see ya. No way. Now, here's Mary and Joseph. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it was prophesied to Mary and Joseph. Now listen, when you have that baby, there's going to be a bunch of shepherds come in. I don't see that either. So here's Mary and Joseph. I mean, man, they just got a brand new baby in their arms, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And Joseph, I'm sure he's saying, honey, how you feeling okay? Are you sure? She's all smiles. Yeah, I'm sure. And he's, wow, look at this, son of God. This is incredible. And they hear this noise. And they look up, and here come these shepherds. And we don't know how many, 5, 10, 15, we don't know. But here come these shepherds. They come into the manger. And one of the thoughts that I think might have passed through Mary and Joseph's mind was, who are they? Why are they here? Is this their manger? Are they mad because we're in here having babies? And they come in, but they've got this look on their face. Not a look of, what are you doing here? But a look of, wow, it's the baby. And they come in. Now I know I'm taking some liberties, but I truly believe that I'm on track here. I really believe it. They come in and they look. Didn't the angel tell them to go? Look, I mean, this is it. And then they say, let's go find this thing. So they're in there and they're looking. That's it. Look, that's the boy. That's the baby. That's the baby. Look, Ahab. This is the baby that the angel talked about. The angel talked about? And Mary and Joseph, didn't they have a visitation from the angel of the Lord too? And they heard these shepherds talking about an angel appeared. Joseph, did you hear that? They said an angel appeared unto them. And they start listening to this, and Joseph speaks up and he says, fellas, hold on just a second. You say that an angel appeared to you? Yeah, listen, Mr. Joseph, we were just out there watching our sheep. And man, it was the craziest thing. All of a sudden, the angel of the Lord was standing there. Joseph said, what'd he look like? Mary says, yeah, what'd he look like? And they start describing him. And they look at each other. Same angel. And they said, yeah, and this angel, he appears and he says that we're going to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The Savior, Christ the Lord, is born. They're telling us all about it. And then you're not going to believe this, Mary. You're not going to believe this. All of a sudden, I mean, right there in front of our eyes, instantly, thousands of angels like you can't believe. And they were singing, glory to God, singing the praises of the Lord. And then they disappeared. And we decided, we're going to check this out. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Now, I know none of that's recorded in Scripture. But after an event like that, you can't keep quiet. And after an event like that, if you notice, the angel, according to the Word of God, the angel did not tell the shepherds, by the way, fellas, I've already visited his mom and his dad, and I've already told them all about that. These shepherds show up, and I'll guarantee you they told Mary and Joseph what that angel said to them. They said, the angel said that your baby is Christ the Lord. The angel said that your baby is the Savior. Your baby. Did you know that? Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, we did. And we're going to name him Jesus. Well, the angels departed, the shepherds visited, but the shepherds got all excited. Now look at this verse, verse 17. After they have their visit with Mary and Joseph, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. All right, let me ask you a question. What was the saying that was told them concerning this child? I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the saying. Christ the Lord, the Savior. And it says in verse 17 that after they had seen this, they made known abroad the saying. Now remember, the taxation was going on. Everybody had to go to their hometown. That means everybody who was of the lineage of David is hoofing it into Bethlehem, into that region, Jerusalem, city of David. And these shepherds, they start telling people, hey, you remember back in Hebrew school? You remember how they told us about the prophets, what the prophets said? Remember how they said that the Messiah was coming, the Redeemer was coming, the Deliverer was coming? You know all those prophecies? Guess what? We were just minding our business out there with the sheep, and then all of a sudden, and they repeat this whole story. And not only that, but now listen to me, if you follow this road right down here, and you go about 12 blocks, turn right, walk another 8 blocks, turn left, go down to the end of the trail, that manger, that's where that baby is. What? You don't... Now, keep in mind, think about this. Let your imagination play around here for a while. You know that these shepherds would have been telling everything they could tell. And not only that, but there would have been some people they told. All right, let's think about it this way. If the shepherd came and told you that, would you just say, oh, wow, that's cool, and then walked off and bought yourself a dum-dum and licked on it for a while? What would you have done? Do you think you might have asked some questions? The Messiah? You're kidding. Where? What's he look like? Who's his mom and dad? I mean, what's the deal here? What's going on? You would have asked some questions. And they would have answered all the questions. What did the angels look like? And what were they singing? You're kidding me. Just out there were you? No joke. And you saw the baby. Well, you know they would have asked some questions. They made it known abroad. Now look at verse 18. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Not, wow, the Messiah is here. But more along the lines of, did you hear what those guys said? What are they smoking out there with those sheep, man? We're going to have to watch these fellas. It says that all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherd. Mary kept all these things and pondered them in their heart. Now look in verse 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. But what's missing in that story? What's missing in that? Everybody who heard it wondered, but nobody checked it out. Nobody checked it out. It says the shepherds returned. Now, let me ask, I don't know about you, but I would think that if all who heard it, or half of all who heard it, had been interested enough to go check it out, I would think the Bible would have said something about the fact, and those which heard the word of the shepherds joined with the shepherds to see this thing which had come to pass in the city of Bethlehem. You see what I'm saying? I would think that Scripture would have recorded some excitement in the lives of people because of the testimony of what the Lord had done in the lives of the shepherds. But there's no record of that. None at all. No record. Now, throw another one out to you. Do you think the shepherds were criticized for their testimony? Do you think that they met with some disbelief? Keep in mind, they're sharing with other Jews about this. Do you think some people would have told them they're crazy? Do you think it's possible that someone might have said something like, well, now, if that was going to happen, he'd have told my priest before he'd have told you. He'd have told my Pharisee before he told you. I mean, man, you're a shepherd. You stink. Angels don't visit stinky people. You got to be holy. And I don't care if you are watching over sacrificial sheep and lambs. Listen. You're just shepherds. Grungy, shepherds. And you're going to tell me that an angel showed up, the angel of the Lord showed up and told you where the Messiah was being born? Come on, man. You need to get back in the Word a little more. I can't find anything in Scripture that says the shepherds are going to know this. You expect us to believe you? You expect us to believe that God would send angels to visit you before He would send angels to visit us? Don't you understand? We have the biggest tabernacle in town. Have you not seen our choir? Have you not seen the musicians? And you want us to believe that God would visit you before He would visit us? Have you not seen the priest of our temple? He's got the biggest beard of all. Hallelujah. And you know what they say about those beards? It's the anointing. Remember how it dripped off Aaron's? Our big beard anointed priest? Why, God would have visited him first before visiting you. And you think we're going to believe you? You think that this move of God in your life was real? Well, nobody showed up to check on the baby but the shepherds. In other words, the shepherds, even though God Himself didn't show up, the shepherds had a visitation from the Lord. God sent His angel. And then God sent thousands more to sing about it. The shepherds saw this. And they went, and they saw the baby. And they talked to Mary and Joseph. Then they go out and they begin telling people of the great things that God has done. They begin testifying to the move of God in their life. And you can tell by Scripture, probably nobody, maybe if you wondered if this is for real, but essentially nobody believed them. Even though they had experienced firsthand this move of God. Well, boy, I'll bet you they just about threw down their staffs and quit. But let's see. They tell everybody. They don't get a whole lot of really good response. But you know what? They didn't care. It says in verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." In other words, okay, Pharisees, Sadducees, priests, Levites, okay, all the rest of you, you don't have to believe this if you don't want to, but just because you don't believe it doesn't mean I'm not going to rejoice in what God has done in my life. Just because you won't accept the move of God doesn't mean I'm going to shut down what God has done in my life. You can turn your back on the Messiah and His work if you want to, but I'm going to praise God and I'm going to glorify His name for the things that He has shown me. There's a whole bunch of people in the body of Christ could take a cue from those angels or those shepherds. How many of you have been criticized because of your testimony of the things that God has done in your life? How many of you have been politely or impolitely criticized, laughed at, made fun of, whatever, because you shared with somebody that a friend of yours got healed when they were prayed for? How many of you have been in some way, shape, or form rejected because you wanted to share with them about this wonderful thing that had happened to you called the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Why? These things don't happen today. And if they did, they would happen in our church first. Because We have the biggest choir, the biggest parking lot. We have the most Sunday school. We have this, we have that. We have all these wonderful things. And I'm telling you now, if these things were really for the church today, it'd be happening in ours. But since it's not, you can. It's okay. Go ahead and live in your religious fantasy. We'll pray for you, maybe. And here's what happens. A lot of Christians, that hits them in such a way to where they no longer function for God the way they should. And they stop glorifying, and they stop praising, and they just live. Because my friends, my family, don't accept me. Let me ask you something, dear heart. Who has accepted you? God. God has accepted you. I can just, in my mind, those shepherds, kind of feel sorry for them. They have had an incredibly glorious experience with God. Even though He didn't show up personally, they had an experience. Angels just don't show up because they feel like it. Especially the whole choir. Must have been quiet in heaven that day. It's kind of like, well, they don't want to believe it, man. But that's not going to change that it happened. And that's not going to change the reality. And that's not going to change what I have experienced. They may not believe it, but they cannot take away from me what God has done in my life. I just want to glorify Him and praise Him. Thank you, God, for showing us the Messiah. Thank you, God, for letting us see the Savior. Thank you, God, for letting us see Christ the Lord. Thank you. Praise you. Praise you. Those guys had their own little camp meeting. By the time they got back to those sheep, probably woke them all. Hallelujah. Thing is, the Bible doesn't even say how long they were out there spreading this word. We don't know. But I can tell you this. They were rejected by the ones who should have accepted them. Now here's where we're headed. You probably figured it out. There are people in your life who have or are or will reject you when they should be accepting you. Might be family, might be friends, whatever, husband, wife, mom, dad, brother, sister, next door neighbor, doesn't matter. There are people in the body of Christ who should be listening to your testimony, and they're not. They are wondering, what's wrong with you? Because if God were going to do such a thing, He'd do it in my life, not yours. You're just a shepherd. I'm me. And the people that have rejected you, rejected your testimony, I'm talking to other Christians now. You've got to understand, it's not you they're rejecting. It's God. The people that those shepherds went and told, it was God Himself that gave the orders for that angel to show up and deliver this message. They took the message that had come straight from heaven and they passed it to as many people as it came in contact with. And those people rejected it. It wasn't the shepherds they were rejecting. It was the Word of God. Get this. They were rejecting the birth of the Savior. How ironic that for centuries they've been waiting for this moment. And then when somebody comes and tells them it's happened, they just dismiss it. The Word has a lot to say for the body of Christ. Things about healing, deliverance, things about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and on and on. And there are a lot of people in your life who should be listening to your testimony. I'm just going to cut to the chase, man. I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be blunt. The reason they aren't is because they think they're better than you. That's what it comes down to. Because if they truly believed it were possible for you to have that kind of an encounter with God, that they could have too, they would listen. Oh, they're not going to tell you that they think they're better than you. In some cases, they don't even believe that. That's not what they think. But that's really what it comes down to. Because if it were really that important, God would already have healed, delivered, filled, and so on, them. But you know what you need to do? In the face of that rejection, in the face of those people spiting your testimony, you do what these shepherds did. You just go on your way, glorifying and praising God for the wonderful things that He has done in your life, the wonderful things that you have heard, the wonderful things that you have experienced in His presence. You can't get caught up with their rejection, because if you get caught up with their rejection, you're going to start walking down their path with them. If they have their face set to go in that direction, you have got to let them go, but you keep praising. You keep glorifying. You keep worshiping. You keep acknowledging the work that God has done in your life. It isn't that you don't love them. It isn't that you're not compassionate toward them. That's not it at all. But what it is you do not accept their rejection. You praise God in the midst of it. You keep worshiping the Lord. The shepherds were rejected, but they kept praising anyway. They kept glorifying anyway. And today, we still get rejected by the people who should listen to our testimony. But ours is to keep glorifying, is to keep praising, and to keep rejoicing anyway, in spite of it. And when we do, then I'll tell you what, you'll walk in a joy that rejection cannot steal. You'll walk in a joy that can't be depressed out of you. You will walk in a joy that cannot be chased away. That's because your joy is in the Lord and your relationship with Him, not in whether or not somebody else accepts your testimony. So, if they talk, they talk. If they criticize, they criticize. If they yell, they yell. If they scream and shout, they scream and shout. They get mad and they tell you you're crazy. They get mad and they tell you you're crazy. Just praise. Just worship. Just make them matter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just like the shepherds. Praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I feel a praise coming on. I don't want to do this alone. So, I cordially invite you to join with me as I praise the Lord anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.